Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Save big money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 26 colors of Owens Corning Duration shingles and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. The Burt Show.
How's everybody doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I had a really chill week off. Like, I feel like everyone was traveling per usual, and I just stayed right here in Atlanta for a little bit. I was in Tampa over the weekend real quick for some family stuff, but other than that, I just kind of like just had a little staycation, if you will, in my apartment.
Was it just killing time? Did you hang out with friends? Did you guys go out, or was it solo?
No, it wasn't killing time. Like, I went out over the weekend, the first weekend we were off, and then, you know, I just felt like I was really productive. Like, when you have a week off, you finally get to focus on the things in your personal life that you need to get done. Mm-hmm. Like, my cat Betty had to get spayed, so I had to take her to the vet and make sure she didn't, you know, die from surgery. I got to take, like, classes at my Pilates studio I don't typically get to go to, so it's like, you kind of get to stop and not rush through life. It's like you get to live your life, but without work in the way. So I get to like try out coffee shops in Atlanta and I typically don't get to go to. And I get to, you know, try out the nail salon I typically walk past because I, you know, got to go home and finish my podcast or something. So it was nice.
It's nice just being in town without the pressures of time. Like, because of this job, and if you're up this early in the morning and you're listening to us live, chances are pretty good you having to get up this early in the morning is dictating what you do the night and the afternoon before, because our schedule's so jacked up. So when you have a week just to go kind of casually by yourself around Atlanta, man, there's a lot of joy in that.
A lot of freedom, baby. So yeah. It was great.
Yeah, yeah.
Very relaxing.
So I went to a small island in the Caribbean. It's called Guadeloupe, and it's a French-owned island. So hardly anybody spoke English. And when they did, they kind of struggled through it. But it was a great little Caribbean island. Really great. And while I was on the trip, I'll tell you guys about this in a little bit. I broke two of the break the rules bucket list items, where these are bucket list items that are kind of naughty, things that you normally wouldn't do, but you got them on a bucket list. Like, I don't know, driving 120 miles an hour on the highway. I wouldn't suggest that, but that would be an example. So we broke two of them on this vacation. So I'll tell you guys about them in a couple of minutes. It's actually one and a half. One you might not give me credit for.
Okay.
Well, how was yours?
It was good. It was a whirlwind, a roller coaster of emotions, if you will. But it was good. It was needed. I spent some time with family. Last minute, me and my lady and my dude all decided to go to Anguilla, knock off another place on my bucket list, which was perfect because it really is nothing to do there but relax.
Yeah.
And it was the perfect place to do that. So I did have one of those moments where I was like, I definitely could have just died because of something that happened, which we'll get into.
Really?
No, legit. Like, it was like, wow, that I could have just died that fast. It was one of those moments. But other than that, it was a lot of relaxation.
Other than
almost dying, it was chill.
Man, what a hassle that would have been for us. We got to change pictures on the website if you die.
It was the first thing I thought about with you guys when I didn't die.
Man.
Yeah,
all that work Cassie's got to do.
Right.
Yeah. What a hassle that would have been.
I know it.
How about you, KK?
It was great. It's been a minute since
we've gone on like a little family vacation and gone somewhere. And so my husband and myself and our son, Jimmy, we went to the Keys. So we flew down to Key West and then drove up to Marathon, Florida, and did spring break there. Weather was just chef's kiss. The resort we stayed at was beautiful. It was just... Yeah, it was a great, great spring break. Jimmy is of this age now where he's just so curious and asks the sweetest questions, and he's all about the underwater sea creatures. So we went to the turtle hospital, so we got to see the sick turtles, and we saw the most adorable manatees and hunted for hermit crabs, and it was like, yeah. And then as soon as we got back, we hit the ground running. We had kids' birthday parties. We had Monster Jam yesterday. It was a lot of family focused time, but it was really good.
For me, he's in that stage right now, at least for me with my kids. 2 to 6 is just the cutest age.
It's adorable.
It really is. They say things you don't expect. Everything is new. It's a great age.
It's hard. It's exhausting, but it's very fulfilling, and just everything that they're absorbing and taking in. He didn't say hotel. He called it the Hoentel.
Oh,
okay. Sometimes it is.
Yeah. I've been to some of those.
The Burt Show.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
You know, I wasn't sure if I was going to bring it up in entertainment buzz because I didn't know if it was going to be appropriate, but I don't freaking care.
The national championship for Florida.
Yeah,
ago,
yeah,
about a week ago.
It feels like it was a month ago.
Listen, because we had a week off, I didn't even get to come in and gloat and finally come in with a UF win, because it has been a long and treacherous road for like the last 15 years as a University of Florida fan. We have been through like so many football coaches. Our basketball team has been kind of like whatever. The only thing we're good at is like gymnastics and swimming, which nobody cares about because it's America. And so finally, when the University of Florida came in clutch in San Antonio and beat out Houston, get a voice, say ha! University of Florida, they are the March Madness Tournament Championship winners, which very disappointing that my cat didn't choose that for her bracket, but you know, she probably should have.
Congrats. That does feel good when your team wins a national championship.
Yes,
you can ride that for a while.
I'm riding it for the next 10 years because that's how long it's going to take for us to get another win.
I was like, God, yeah, how long ago was that?
I know, it feels like it was a month ago.
It does feel like it was a month ago.
It was
only a week,
week
though.
It was literally like, this time
Monday.
Last week.
What wasn't last week, though, was actually the Masters, which I typically wouldn't watch, the 2025 Masters. And this is like the penultimate, or not the penultimate, this is the top most prestigious golf tournament that everybody in golf wants to win. And I don't know a lot about golf, but I know it's a big deal. And I know it goes down in Augusta, Georgia every year.
It's all about fashion, because everybody wants the green jacket.
Everybody wants that green jacket. I think they could have picked a more flattering color.
I do, too. It's time. Maybe they'll upgrade that jacket.
You can't change the
jacket.
The Masters is about, man, like that tradition. God. They don't change anything. Nothing. Down there, man.
They still probably don't let women in the clubhouse.
I don't watch any golf at all during the year. Not one hole of golf. But I was glued to the TV set yesterday.
Same here. So I was waiting for my flight yesterday in Tampa, and I was at my brother's house, and of course, he's a big, big golfer, so he was watching the Masters tournament all afternoon, and I had nothing to do, so I was like, I'll sit my butt here and watch what's going on. I was so invested.
Yes.
And what I didn't realize about golf, and what I like about it more than watching like football or basketball, is because it's such an individual sport that anytime like a player makes a mistake or they get a win, they zoom right. So you get to see and hear exactly how they're feeling in that moment. And so when like Rory McIlroy, you know, got double bogey in the first hole, like we're watching his reactions there.
And this is in the last round you're talking about.
Well, no, I'm talking about the very, very first hole. He had double bogey. And then, you know, in hole 13, then he totally messed up at what should have been a very easy birdie for that hole. And you just feel so invested in their stories that it's less, it feels less like a sport and more like a reality show competition. Like, I feel like I'm fighting for a person rather than a player.
Well, he was also fighting for, like,
the Grand Slam.
For the record books. Yeah.
Also, I when I watch a tournament like that, and I say this during the Olympics also, when you have to focus in the biggest tournament of your life, because you can win the others and very few win the Grand Slam, which is the four biggest golf tournaments, but this is the one that every golfer wants to win. When you pick up a golf club, you start dreaming about winning the Masters. So this is a four-day tournament. So to relax and be able to breathe and focus for 4 days without choking, to me, is the mastery of this tournament.
This is probably the first time Rory McIlroy, who won this year's Masters tournament, has been able to breathe in 14 years because in 2011, he was set up to win. He was killing it, and then he, like, choked at this tournament. So I think for the last 14 years, everyone's wondering, is it going to be Rory's year? Is it going to be Rory's year? And so finally in 2025, he had the lead through most of it, had a couple of slip-ups here and there, especially on that 13th hole. But finally, he and Rose tied at the very, very end of the tournament. So they had to go into sudden death. And Rory absolutely killed it. I mean, he got, like, birdie for the first hole that they had to go through for that final matchup between him and the other guy. And just the relief on his face when he found out that he was going to be the tournament champion was so sweet. He picked up his daughter. It was a very sweet family moment. I, however, wasn't really sure if morally I could root for him because of some of the drama that's gone on behind the scene with Rory McIlroy.
What's that?
Have you heard about all of this with his wife?
Didn't they, like, file for divorce or got divorced and then got remarried or something?
So I found out that Rory McIlroy is kind of a player. So I went on this whole deep dive on TikTok yesterday while I was at the airport. So
a professional athlete is a player?
The first part of his last name is Mac.
Well, typically, I feel like golfers are more the family men, but apparently he was having an affair with the woman who covers the Masters and all these big golf tournaments. On CBS. Her name's Amanda Balionis or something. And so a while back, he had filed for divorce like the day after Mother's Day and then was spotted out with this reporter. And then like a month later, he and his wife decided to reconcile. And I was like, what's going on there? Like, you don't make your divorce public if you're not going to go through with it. Commit to the bit, my guy.
So anyway, it was... Write nice articles about him, that's all.
Yeah, no, it was very awkward watching this woman interview him where I was like, you just had affair rumors, like not that long ago.
She was there at the Masters yesterday?
She's like the woman that covers the Masters.
Oh, dang.
So meanwhile, we're all watching this go down. We know the drama that's happening behind the scene. And there he is with his supposed ex-mistress.
Man, if you're Justin Rose, the guy that he was competing with at the very end of the whole thing, you're putting that reporter on every hole.
All right, did Saturday Night Live go too far with a parody of this actress from this weekend's show? Well, she thinks so. Now, some cast members...
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
What's the most sustainable way to love fashion? It's changing the way you shop by shopping with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted source for authenticated luxury resale. When you shop with The RealReal, you'll find the luxury brands you love, like Prada, Celine, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail. And when you're ready to refresh your wardrobe, you can sell the pieces you no longer wear to fund your next new-to-you finds. Buy, sell, repeat, guilt-free. The RealReal extends the life cycle of luxury by keeping coveted items in rotation. Sell to shop, shop to sell with The RealReal. It's better for the planet and better for your closet. Plus, during Earth Month, you can earn $100 extra when you sell with The RealReal. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn $100 extra during the entire month of April at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Are apologizing. I'll explain on your next e-buzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
If there was a possibility, it's probably over. It doesn't appear as though Mo is going to be kicking field goals for the Atlanta Falcons anytime soon. Is it your kicking foot or is it your plant foot?
It's not. It's my plant foot.
Oh, so you still got a shot.
I still got a shot. Yeah. At least I didn't have to hobble on my good foot. But yeah, man. For those who don't know, I have gout, and I had my first flare-up ever before we left for vacation. And if you don't know what it is, it's basically when uric acid causes arthritis in your joints. I have learned it. Normally, it attacks your foot, but it really can attack your joints anywhere in your body.
So uric acid, are there specific food? Isn't it a seafood thing that most people, like, if you eat a lot of seafood?
It doesn't have to be. That's one of the main causes of it. Usually, it's either seafood, they say beer, or dark alcohol, or stress are the main causes of flare-ups for gout. And it tends to attack men, usually around like their late 30s or higher, but it can happen to women, and it can happen to men earlier as well. But they really don't know how to pinpoint exactly what happened to me. It literally came from out of nowhere. Like, and that's why I knew it was weird, because if I was working out at the time, I might have just thought I tweaked something or I twisted something by accident. But I wasn't. I wasn't doing anything physical to where my foot should hurt half as much as it did. And I went to sleep. I believe it was Wednesday night. Everything was completely normal. And in the middle of the night, I started to feel like this really, really sharp pain. This pain that was so painful that even if you put the sheet like over your foot, you could feel it. That kind of pain. And I have a pretty high tolerance for pain. So normally pain doesn't really make me wince or even like yell a little bit. But it did. Like when I went to step on it, I couldn't walk. And I was like, oh, something's not right. Like this is different. And so I came into work that day, which I later, when I went to the doctor, she was like, yeah, that was stupid. I don't know why you did that. But I genuinely thought like, oh, I must have just tweaked something, but I'll be all right.
And it does feel strange calling in and saying, hey, I can't come in today. My foot hurts.
Right. Like, can't walk. Like, what happened? Right. And I couldn't even explain what happened. The only reason I kind of had a feeling what I was going through is because one of my best friends has gout, and I've seen him have flare ups. And he's been down. Like he'll get it maybe twice a year. He'll have a flare up and he can't walk. It's kind of the same thing. He's had to cancel vacations just because he's like bedridden. And I always thought he was exaggerating. I used to actually make fun of him. Like, it can't be that bad. And no, I was wrong. Gout is by far the most painful thing I've ever experienced.
The two guys that I've known in the past that have had it are so opposite of what you are. They were heavy guys. They lived on the coast, so they were eating a lot of seafood and big time beer drinkers. It was everything you're not.
Exactly. So what my doctor told me was she believes that it definitely came from stress. When I explained to her what the last couple of weeks of my life looked like, she was like, you have to stop stressing yourself. My blood pressure is high. I'm pre-diabetic. I got all this stuff going on now. And she was like, this is the part of your life where you need to make some changes. And it was hard to pinpoint exactly where it came from, because normally I don't drink dark liquor, but I did have a lot of dark liquor because it was all they had at my sister's event. And I normally never do that. So I'm like, it could have been that. I also did have seafood that week, a couple nights before at the Atlanta Hawks game. I ate some jerk salmon, which I never had before in my life. It could have been that, or it literally could just be the stress that I've been experiencing.
Did the doctor say, I mean, because it seems to me like this is a long-term thing. Like, you'd have to be eating a lot of seafood, and you'd have to be drinking dark liquors for a long period of time. It's not like one night is going to do it.
Well, no, it depends, right? Like, it can happen out of nowhere. Like, it can literally just be stress. It doesn't have to be seafood, I've learned. It doesn't have to be anything that you're actually in taking. You can stress yourself so much to the point where you can give yourself a gout flare-up.
Damn.
And apparently that's what I've done. It's the first one ever. I've never had one before. But as soon as I went to urgent care and she started looking at my foot and trying to move it, she knew. She was like, you can go see a physician, but this is gout. Like, we deal with gout all of the time. She said she was 90% sure, so they gave me, like, the steroids for it. And then I felt fine. It's like, she said give it 3 days, which she was spot on. The first 3 days are excruciating pain, like excruciating pain, to where you don't even want to put any type of pressure on it whatsoever. And then that third day, I was fine. And the fourth day, I was normal, completely back to normal. Like, I never had it, like nothing was there. And every once in a while, I might tweak my foot where I could kind of feel it, but it's nothing like that flare up. So from now, the thing is, it's been a while. It's been a long time coming. I've needed to adjust my lifestyle for my heart, for other reasons. And I just was living in this space of, oh, I'll be fine. I have time to get it together. And no, I do not. The guy told me now's the time, buddy.
So what adjustments are you making?
Well, I don't want to give up seafood. So I told what I will do is I'm not drinking dark alcohol anymore. That's a wrap. My drinking, I'm going to cut down like to the point where if I'm not celebrating something, I'm not having a drink. That's just over for me. Like and when I do celebrate something, I'll have a drink, maybe two. I'm not going past two drinks at any point ever again in life. This is a promise I've made myself no matter what. And I even feel like I'm lying to myself when I say it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I have to do it now. I don't want to experience that anymore. Seafood, I really don't eat that much. So I feel like if I cut alcohol out of my diet, if I stop stressing,
let's stop there right there.
That's because, what I want to ask about.
Yeah, I feel like you're focusing on the more superficial stuff.
Right.
I mean, the real work here is going to be, what are you going to do to de-stress yourself? I mean, because that's where... In my opinion, and I'm no doctor,
right,
but I do have ChatGPT. to me, if you're laying it all out there, you've been stressed for a long time. You've had a lot of things go on in your life.
For sure.
That have been very stressful. So that's where the real work is, man, and that ain't easy.
I really been thinking about this for these last few days. That's the way I internalize everything. Right. And I think that's my issue is when things happen to me in my life, I stress over it as if I caused it, if that makes sense. Like, you know, things that are out of your control, 3 deaths in a week. And I'm taking all of this on like I did something to deserve it or like I did something for it to happen. And I think that's why I stress myself out so much. Or I live with regret a lot. I'll go over things that I've done and wish I did it differently. I beat myself up a lot. And it really took for one of my best friends, my dude, to call me and say, bro, I've been wanting to tell you this for a long time. I need you to find a way to give yourself grace. Mm. Like, you do not give yourself enough grace. And I've never heard him talk to me this way. And it was like he was afraid because I think he understood how severe the circumstances were for me to get to the point where I have gout and it's due to stress. He's like, your life is on the line here. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to see something happen to you. And I have watched you for years just not give yourself grace at any point in life. And it's literally going to be a life-saving thing if you do. So my mind is now trying to focus on literally just allowing things to be as they are, not stressing over things I can't change, and just letting things go by the wayside and everything will be fine. It'll work out the way it's supposed to. Because if I don't take that approach to life, yeah, I could be in some serious trouble.
So it's not so much as far as like your plate is too full, you're trying to do too much. It's just like when life happens, and it does, how you're going to handle it rather than adjusting what you're doing now.
I think my plate being too full is a part of it. Mm-hmm. I also feel like that's everybody's life sometimes, you know, but I think learning how to ask for help when I need it, or learning to at least let people help when they want to. I think little things, making those little adjustments, and then just in the end, life is short, you know, we're all going to die one day, as you always say, Bert, right? And it's like, I don't want that day to be any sooner than it has to be. So ultimately, I think it was, I'm looking at it at least as a reminder of just how short this life is and how quickly things can change. Because that came from out of nowhere. I thought I was like the healthiest guy moving, and I'm not. So it's caused me to look at things a bit differently.
I don't know if this helps at all or not, but the easiest way and the best, most effective way for me to de-stress is brown liquor.
and
seafood? Yeah, yeah, seafood too. I'll get that stress out of there. The liquor will be fine.
The Burt Show.
Abby would like to make one request of parents. What is it?
Specifically parents... Specifically white parents. And when I say I'm self-aware, I think it just means that I'm very observant. And I was observing something about my family over the weekend that I think a lot of other families can relate to. And I need to call a cease and desist on some of these grandparents because they do one thing that I think other cultures and other races do not do. And it is starting to grind my gears a little bit.
Okay.
So over the weekend, I was in Tampa, which is where all my family is. And I've been going there a lot recently because everyone in my family is going through like big life changes. My brother's getting engaged. My cousin is pregnant. So she had the baby gender reveal and, you know, we're getting ready for the baby shower. And we had this big charity event that my cousin's family runs. And so I went down there to hang out with everybody on the beach. It was really, really fun. Basically just sat around the pool all day while everyone else did all the big charity stuff. It was a great time. But while I was there, of course, you know, you're catching up with your family and you're talking about all the things that are changing and happening in everyone's lives. And I was with my family up on the rooftop at the hotel we were staying at, and we were discussing my cousin, who is
having her baby and, you know, what that's going to look like and how life is going to change once she has her baby. Mm-hmm. And we're going around the circle and I look at my Aunt Kelly, who is going to be the grandparent of this child. And I just kind of get this inkling in the back of my head. I was like, oh no, I think we're going to be that family. And when I mean that family, I mean, I think we're going to be that set of white grandparents where they have the weird white grandparent names. And I think we need to be stopped. Mm. So I asked my Aunt Kelly, I was like, so what are you planning on calling yourself? Like once, you know, the baby comes into the world.
Like the grandparent nickname.
Yes, because okay. I feel like white grandparents, they do this worse than everybody else. Like most cultures and most families, they have like, you know, they just go by grandmother or grandma or grandpa or gramps or whatever.
We've got Nani, we've got whatever.
White people, we've created our own language. Mm. Like it sounds like they just said whatever the child said, like the first word that the child said, that's what they decide to go with for the grandparent name. They have No-No, they have Popo, they have Lolo, they have Lolly, they have Papa, Wawa. Like it's bizarre. So I'm looking at my aunt, I'm going, what are you going to call yourself? Like what's your name for the next 50 years or what? However long this kid is going to call you by whatever name. And she goes, well, I'm keeping it classic and I'm just going with Graham. And I had a sigh of relief. I was like, okay. Oh, thank God. This is so great. And I was like, well, what's Uncle Tony? What's your husband going to go by? And she goes, T-Poppy.
Oh, no.
T-Poppy.
Here we go.
So the T is for Tony. He's going by T-Poppy. And I look at her and I go, I had that vein starts popping out my forehead. I was like, that is so embarrassing. T-Poppy. He can't go by T-Poppy. And then I look
at... That's a lot of syllables for a little kid too, man.
No, literally. I was like, I don't even think this kid's going to be able to pronounce that. So I look at my cousin. I go, okay, well, you have the other set of grandparents. That's the cool side of the family. The grandfather on that side is a big ex-Bucks player. I'm like, he's a cool dude. What's he going to go by? And she goes, Papa. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a little bit better. Mm-hmm. I was like, what's the grandma going to go as? Like, what's the name for her? Nene.
Nay, nay.
Nay, nay.
Nay, nay.
Like, watch me whip. Watch me nay, nay.
I'm about to say, like, the dance.
Is that by nay, nay?
That's got some swag, though.
You think so?
Nay, nay got a little swag.
Nay, nay?
Is this the first grandchild for everybody, or are these established names that have already been, like, one of the kids started calling them this?
That's the thing. It's the first grandchild. So this is everybody.
Setting the precedent.
It's setting the precedent. This is what they are going to be called for the next 55 years or so. These crazy white people grandparent names.
My friend, who is white. Her parents, you cannot beat how weird these grandparent names are. I think they're big fans of Bojangles. So they decided upon the birth, I'm not kidding, on the birth of their first grandchild, their names would be Boberry and Biscuit.
Oh, come on now.
Grandma's Biscuit and Papa is Boberry.
Absolutely not. Mm-hmm.
Boberry and Biscuit.
Absolutely not. You're
proving Abby's point here.
Yeah, exactly.
And so then everyone just started sharing like, oh yeah, well my friend goes by Lolly and then the dad goes by Papa. So it's like Lolly Papa, like lollipop. And I'm like, No, this is embarrassing. We're embarrassing enough, and we're just not doing ourselves any more favors.
I think you're right. Hey,
The Bert Show.
All right, so I call it the Break the Rules bucket list. Amanda and I came up with this list. You know what your bucket list items are, things that you really, really want to do before you die. Your Break the Rules bucket list would be, quite honestly, like small things you've thought about doing, but you're breaking the rules, but it would feel so invigorating. I added one to my list last week, running up the down escalator at the Atlanta airport. The long one.
What?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Just for no reason.
For no reason. It just feels like something I would love to do.
I don't think you could do it.
You don't think I can make
That's
it?
That's a long escalator.
Oh,
man.
I can make that.
No.
Oh, are you kidding?
I don't think you can.
Oh, that's a challenge.
That is one of the longest escalators as you're getting off the plane train and you're going up to get to baggage claim and picturing you like going all the way up. I don't know if you could get all the way to the top.
Okay, so you're saying without people on it, because that would be the real.
Yeah. No, I'm
without
saying,
people, like, I can't make it all the way to the top.
Empty escalator, baby.
Oh,
you
man. I want this.
I was late for a flight last week or whenever I went to Chicago, and I sprinted halfway up that escalator, but I wasn't looking up, and I'm like, God, when is this thing end? And I looked up and I was like, nah, bro, I'll miss the flight.
No,
but my point is, if I can make it halfway, you can make it full.
No, but you're talking about the down escalator going up the down escalator.
I'm talking about going up the down escalator.
Oh, I thought you meant that real long
one. No, he could totally do that.
Yeah, I was like, have some faith in yourself, man.
No, this is like, it's going down, mm-hmm. and you're going like against stream, like a salmon. Yeah, going.
You
up.
Can't do that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good.
I'm betting on the under.
What?
Oh, no, that's a long escalator, bro.
What?
And I'm not gonna say it moves at a good clip, but it's moving.
You're gonna run out of wind at probably 60% through.
Yep.
The rest of that you're gonna have to push through.
Are we talking about the one where your picture's gonna be, the screen is?
Yeah.
That's not that tall.
I think I could make it.
You got
now. It's a challenge. I'm gonna be down there tomorrow. I might ask them, like, hey, can you clear the escalator for just 30 seconds? I mean, these people aren't in a rush. Their bags aren't gonna get there anytime soon. Let's go.
It's your moment. Take advantage.
This isn't the busiest airport in America. You're fine.
Yeah, 30 seconds. Huh. All right, that takes us in a different direction, but now I'm feeling the challenge, right? But I'm also at the age where I mentally think I could do things that I could do when I was 20. Like, I can still do that. And mm-hmm. then you're six stairs up and you're like, oh, that was stupid.
So you think you and your two new hips can make it all the way up there, huh?
Because of my two hips. I can make it up there. All right, so what would be on your break the rules bucket list? Just as examples, because I think we definitely broke one on vacation, and I don't know if you guys will give me credit for the second one. What do you got?
Mine were to sneak into somewhere I have absolutely no business being, like you did with, I think it was the Miami Heat, right, in the locker room.
Yeah, after the NBA championship.
I would love to do something like that. Play piano in a place where you are clearly not supposed to touch the piano.
Okay.
And steal one of those rocks that they tell you not to. Even though, Kristen, I got a lot of DMs from people telling me, please don't do that. I'm not going to do it, but it is something I've always wanted to do.
Uh-huh. I learned my lesson the hard way, how to make an apology to the god of wind in Tulum.
I remember.
Abby?
For me, I've already crashed a wedding, so I feel like I need to one-up myself by giving some kind of speech at a wedding or by doing something that's just a little bit more extra than just, you know, sliding in on the dance floor. And then my other one is I want to home wreck a marriage, but one that was already on the way. Out. Like, I just want to know that you would choose me over your wife, but I want to know there was trouble already, so I don't have to feel bad about it.
Help. You just want to help ease it out.
It was gonna happen eventually.
Yeah.
You just expedited the situation.
I'm gonna be a laxative for your marriage.
Well, he will definitely tell you that the marriage is almost over when you have the affair.
Yeah, that'll ease my conscience.
All right, Kristen.
Abby Imodium, I like it. I have no recollection because we did this and we shared. Them, and I can't remember for the life of me what my three were, so they just must have been really boring.
Okay, that's all right.
Yeah.
All right, so two that I had on my list, we definitely did one, and that was crash a wedding, which you did. So we took a boat out one day, and we were drinking quite a bit on the water. And this is a French island that we were at. It's called Guadeloupe in the Caribbean. So as we were going past this one bay, we saw a whole bunch of people in the water, and there were red flares coming out of the boat, but it was docked. So it's not like, help me. It was like, this is a big old party going on. So we tell the dude, hey, can you pull into the bay? We want to see what's going on over there, right? And it was a French wedding that the wedding was over and they were all partying in the water together. And they had a live DJ on the boat. What? Nobody was in the boat. They were all in the bay, like sort of swimming and dancing at the same time to this DJ. And he had red flares, right? So we're like, we need to go in there and do this, right? So we swim on over there. We're going to crash the party, man. It looks like they're having a great time. We get in there. Everybody's head look. I mean, they immediately knew that we weren't part of the party.
Well, you think?
And they were not happy about it at all. First of all, the French aren't real, like, welcoming people to begin with. So two Americans coming up and trying to crash their reception didn't go over well.
Yeah, don't blame this on them on not being welcoming. No. You crashed their party. Right. They weren't excited to see us.
What did we do wrong?
Not friendly about it at all. But either way, it's off the list.
Okay.
Didn't say the people would be happy that we crashed the list or the wedding.
Did it live up to your expectation or were you slightly disappointed?
Super disappointed.
I'm assuming you didn't stay too long.
No, we were there like 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right. But I am still crossing that one off the list. The second one was run away from cops. I think the adrenaline of running away from a police officer, it never ends well. But in the back of my head, that would be pretty invigorating.
That never happened to you as a kid?
Like,
no, I've never run from cops.
Yeah, no, I've already crossed that one off the list.
You did?
Yeah, we were just hanging out in Shillitoe Park, literally doing absolutely nothing. But we were there past curfew, and cops came, and man, we hoofed it. We left those suckers in our bus.
We have lived two very different lives. Yes. I would like to avoid that by any means necessary.
That's not on any of your list.
Not on one of them.
So we are eating at this French restaurant where we took a car around the island just to find all these secluded beaches. That's part of the fun on going on a Caribbean vacation for me, is just going around and trying to find where the tourists aren't, right? So we take a car out for the day. We find a restaurant. We eat at it. And Amanda stays in the bathroom while I'm getting the car ready. And as I come out, this, for lack of a better word, like a parking cop comes out and starts yelling at me. Like, I have to pay $2 to park in front of the restaurant. But he's saying it in French, so I don't really have any idea what he's upset about. So, but I do see on the bottom of his car that it's a legitimate parking cop, but I can't quite make out what he's saying, right? So the owners of the restaurant come out, they start chewing this cop's ass out, and the cop gets out of the car and starts chewing them out, and they're having an argument in French, right? So I go back into the restaurant, and in broken English, they tell me that they are saying that you need to pay $2 to park where you did in front of the restaurant, because there's a parking lot right across the street that people use to go down the beach, but you weren't in it, so you shouldn't have to pay the $2. So I come back out, and the cop is still asking for his $2. He leaves for a second to go down the hill to the beach area to try to bust somebody else. And in that time, Amanda and I just put it in reverse and we start taking off, right? This cop comes up the hill in his car and we lead him on a slow speed chase through the island.
No, you did not.
Yes. Are you serious?
This dude was on us for like 5 miles. And we got out of the little town that we were in, and I guess it was out of his jurisdiction. So we turned around, but that's all. Like, it was a parking meter dude.
I say it counts.
Do I get it?
I think it counts.
And he did have lights on the car.
Did he have a badge?
He did not have a badge, but he had a very, very well-pressed T-shirt.
A T-shirt? A T-shirt?
wait, he had no badge.
And it did have a logo on it that indicated he was part of the parking division.
He had one of them lights you had to manually put on the top of the car.
Sort of.
He took a turn too hard. He like zoomed off.
You know what they really looked like? Were manual like strobe lights, like long rectangular ones that they just put on top of the car.
Yeah.
But it was a slow speed chase. Do I get credit for it or not?
I'll give it to you.
Slow. Did you ever at any point in time go over 35 miles an hour?
I don't think so.
I think this counts as walking away from the cops.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
I think you go through life long enough. Pretty much everybody has had a brush with death, correct? You guys?
Yep.
I'd say.
What happened to yours?
I ran a red light and almost got T-boned.
How about you?
I can't think of any close calls with death, but I mean, I've been in car accidents, so I guess that's close, maybe.
Yeah, I've probably chased death, I'm thinking 4 or 5 times. Some of them, one was a fight in Mexico. I probably should have died there. One was also running. I didn't run a red light, but somebody else did, and it happened there. And then in high school, I was like drag racing a friend of mine and almost hit a telephone pole straight on. Mm. So those are just three off the top of my head. But Mohad went on vacation here. He shouldn't even be here today.
I did. And it seems like when it happens to me, it always involves a car. And sometime I'm in a car and sometime I'm not. And this was another incident that involved a car, and I wasn't in a car. Like, I don't know what it is with me and walking and getting hit by cars, but it seems to happen a little more often than I'd like.
It's like you're like a magnet.
I don't know what my life won't leave me alone sometimes.
And because of that gout foot, you're not moving so well.
So that did play a part in it, and this is why you should listen to people who love you. I am a bit stubborn, and I don't always do that, and I almost paid for it dearly while we were in Anguilla. So a few of us decided to go to Anguilla just to relax. It was on my bucket list, a place I've always wanted to go. And what I loved about it is it's a place that kind of pretty much forces you to relax. It's just that's all you can do there. So you don't have a lot of a choice. And my friends and my lady couldn't pull me to all these different things that they mm-hmm. wanted to do because it's just beaches and restaurants. Mm-hmm. So it was perfect. It was the perfect vacation for me. Now, there was one night, and this is like midway through the week. We had been there for about a day or so. And this is like the first day that my foot is really starting to feel back to normal. And if you've ever had a foot injury, it like even when you feel like you're healed, it'll make you a bit apprehensive about still putting weight on it because you've been limping for a few days and you almost just don't trust it yet. And so I'm moving, but I'm not moving the greatest. And we hit a point of the night. So another thing about Anguilla, everything, at least where we were on the west side, everything closes early. Like everything. Everything shuts down at pretty much 9 o'clock. And that's a wrap.
Oh, that's my kind of town.
Right. It's like, yes, if you don't get whatever you need by like 8 or 9 o'clock, you're done for tomorrow.
Wow.
So the supermarket, the one that was closest to us, closes at 8 o'clock. And at this point, it's like 7:30. And it's dark already, and we know that if we're going to be drinking and enjoying ourselves by ourselves in the room, we need to go to the supermarket to make sure we have everything that we need. So my lady is like, listen, your foot is not the best. It's dark out there. There really isn't any sidewalks. It's just road, and then it's the woods on, mm-hmm. on both sides of you. And she's like, we should just call an Uber. We'll both go over there, and we'll get what we need and come back.
So they have Ubers on the island.
They do have Ubers okay. on the island. So I'm like, yeah, nah. Because the last time we got an Uber to go to the supermarket, now, mind you, it's like a 5-minute walk, if that. And it's a $25 drive. My brain, the way I'm set up, I'm like, I'm not paying $25 to get there, $25 to get back, and we need $5 worth of juice. Like, that just don't make a lot of sense to me. So I'm like, nah, I'm walking. And she's like, why would you do that? You can barely walk, first of all, and it's dark out there. You don't know the roads. You're not familiar with this place. Just pay for the cab. And I'm like, yeah, I'll be right back. So, of course, my pride takes me outside. My dude is like, I'll come with you. I don't want you to go alone. I'm like, well, that would be helpful. Great. So we both go. So as we're walking, I feel like we should be on the side of the street where the cars are coming toward us because you can see them coming. Whereas on the other side, they're coming from behind you. You can't really see them. Most of the cars are driving as if people walk on the side and they're aware of that. So they're driving at a reasonable speed. Some drivers don't really care. They moving and grooving. And if they see you, they see you kind of a thing. Now, I wore black, which was stupid. I didn't think that one through. I should have put on a brighter color. I wasn't fully thinking this through. I'm thinking all I got to do is cross the street and I'll be fine. Right. What's the worst that can I'm a grown man. I can walk to the store and back.
You're from New York.
Exactly.
Man.
This is what I do. Right. This is not going to be an issue. And because the way my luck would have it. We're walking to the supermarket and we go to cross the street because now we have to get on the side of the street, at least for a little bit, where the cars are coming from behind you, not necessarily in front of you. So you kind of have to just be on the listen and on the lookout for the cars that are zooming behind you. And I can kind of hear a car coming. So I try to move over more into the woods. So there's, like I was saying, there's no sidewalk at all. It's road, woods. That's it. And right as this car is coming, I go to step into the woods to step out of the way. And I turn and I see the cars coming pretty fast. As I do that, I hear like the sound of something moving. And like, you know, that sound like something's moving in the trees or in the bushes. And it scares the daylights out of me, right? Like it's like right next to me. So when it does it, I so naturally I jump. Mm-hmm. But when I jump away from the woods, which is into the street. And my mind told me not to do it because I just saw that this car was coming. But it was instinct. It was like, it literally was like, what'd you want? You wanted your chances with the car, or you want your chances with whatever this is in the woods? Because I don't even know what it is. And I guess my brain chose car.
You're like, I've been hit by one before.
At least I know what that feels like. I don't know what's in the woods. So I jump, and it's like in that moment, like in that instant, I knew it. I said, I'm about to get hit by a car. And it was like, I jumped, I saw my light flash before my eyes, and the car swerves last second to avoid me. And this is going to sound like I'm exaggerating, but I promise y'all I'm not. It felt like it was so close, and the car drove by so fast that, like, I could almost feel the side view mirror touch the hair on my arm. Like, that's how close it felt. And I felt the wind just push past me from the speed that the car was going. And he just honked me, like, get out the way, and just kept it pushing. And I just sat there for a moment of, like, oof, I thought it was over. Like, it really was like that adrenaline rush of, oh, my God, I just knew I was about to get hit by that car. Dang. But it just missed me. And all for some orange juice, man. I should have. I almost lost my life over some orange, $4 orange juice.
The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Amy Lou Wood, the actress from The White Lotus, who plays Chelsea, the girl with the very prominent teeth, she is calling out Saturday Night Live for a, quote, mean and unfunny sketch they did that mocked her appearance. So if you didn't watch Saturday Night Live over the weekend, they did this parody of The White Lotus that they called The White POTUS. And so they ended up having, like, a lot of, like, cabinet members being played, sort of like they were in The White Lotus, this big TV show that everyone, I feel like, has been watching, where it's all these rich people at a resort called the White Lotus. And there's this one part of the sketch where they have John Hamm playing RFK Jr. and he's rattling off about, like, health stuff or whatever. And they have an actress playing Amy Lou Wood's character, Chelsea, with prominent fake teeth on. And it is very clear that they are trying to draw attention to her teeth based off of what RFK Jr., a.k.a. John Hamm, is saying in this part of the sketch.
I mean, it's like I have all these crazy ideas, you know? Like, I have this syringe full of active measles virus. And I just want to stab somebody with it, you know? And I've been having these insane ideas, like, what if we took all the fluoride out of the drinking water? What would that do to people's teeth?
Fluoride? What's that? Oh, look, a monkey!
I'm gonna go kill it and eat it.
No, not the monkey.
So, of course, when John Hamm's character, RFK Jr., says, what would that do to people's teeth? And then it flashes to her teeth. It's very much drawing attention to the fact that they are making fun of her teeth. They're saying that her teeth are not good.
And if you don't watch White Lotus, then you probably don't know this character. But her trademark, this actress's trademark now, has become her teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she even talks about it in interviews also that there are so many people commenting, so many dentists that have been commenting on her teeth also saying, don't change it. But if you were going to, this is what we would do. Because you can tell immediately. It's like her trademark.
Yeah, well, as far as the sketch goes, you know, if they were making fun of everybody else and how they looked on the show, that would be one thing. But that was literally the only character they did that with. Because Parker Posey's character has that, like, thick North Carolina drawl or whatever. So they had that one accent. But everybody else was playing, like, you know, President Trump or playing RFK or like, you know, playing these other people in Washington. Nobody else was really, you know, well, Lizzo.
Yeah.
But again, that wasn't making fun of anybody's appearance. So I felt like that was the one. It was just a really pointed jab.
Yeah.
That was unnecessary for the sketch, which overall was quite clever.
I thought it was really I'm with her. I thought it was really unfunny, really stupid.
The whole sketch was unfunny.
I
thought it, you know, especially with the brothers and when they were at the blender. If you watch the show and like the correlation between like what the dad is going through and like, no, I thought it was very clever and very funny.
Yeah, I do think other than the jab at Amy Lou Wood, it is what I think SNL does best, which is blending pop culture and what's mm-hmm. going on with the rest of the world. And so I think the White POTUS was very on the nose and perfect for that. But yeah, like you said, it was really the only pointed jab at non-political cabinet members. So it was kind of like, why even throw that in there? Especially because I feel like it's very, it's not very 2025 to make fun of people's appearances. And so it was very like weird that SNL was going down that route. And she even called them out. She said there must be a clever, more nuanced, less cheap way to make a jab at her or her teeth or some way. At least they got the accent right. I respect the accuracy, even if it's mean.
So I do feel like you deserve an award if you can... like if you can avoid spoilers of like a big TV show, because like that finale was obviously very huge, but we were on vacation and on spring break and they didn't have HBO and I wasn't about to watch it on my phone. I somehow managed to avoid any spoiler of who died and who was the shooter until I got back home. Mm-hmm. And it was like dodging Matrix bullets. Every time I opened up social media, like I could see something, I'm like, no, I can't. No, don't ruin it for me. And I somehow managed to get home and watch it. And it was, did you watch the ending?
So this is how I know my anxiety is bad. I'm not even watching The White Lotus, but I'm thinking about watching The White Lotus. Okay. But I know there's so much suspense in it that I kind of want to know how it ends so I can be calm while I watch it. So when I saw the scene on TikTok pop up on my For You page, I did watch it.
I'm two episodes behind, so I'm trying to dodge.
You haven't seen it, but you haven't. It hasn't been spoiled for you either?
It has not. I've been doing the same thing you're doing. As soon as I see anything about it, I just scroll past it because I don't want to know what happened.
You're going to see it now. That child didn't even talk about it. Yeah.
That's an emotional roller coaster of a finale.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. This headline, I swear, feels like a fever dream. But Rosie O'Donnell says, for the first time in her life, she feels safe enough to trust and be vulnerable to love a straight man, and not just any straight man, a famous man behind bars. I'm going to explain this story on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.